a little bit as we go along here, but what the Lord had put on my heart, and the title of this message is The Way Out of the Fog. The Way Out of the Fog. And I'm going to not only look and see the way out of the fog, and I'll explain the fog in a minute, but not only that, but how we can stay away from the fog. How we can stay away from the fog. What do I mean there by the fog? I was reminded of a situation with my brother and I, of course, years ago. Well, we bought us a boat, and we decided that we was going to try to be fishermen. We didn't have a clue what in the world we were doing in any form or fashion, okay, or any way. And we decided that we ran into some guys catching some big fish and where they were going. And, boy, it was in a big lake. It was one of them lakes that if you get out in the middle and look in every direction, you can't see land. You better know where you came from, okay? Well, it was that one of those kind of lakes. And we got up. I mean, it was still dark out, you know. We're going to get out there. You know, we're going to catch some big fish. You know, and we got out there in the boat. We just kept on going. And, you know, all of a sudden, I just noticed there's a little bit of patch of fog here and there, you know. And we kept running into that fog, you know. But my brother and our attitudes were always like, well, you know, we're just not afraid of nothing. And we can handle anything and everything. Now, that wasn't true, you know, but we kind of thought that way, you know. And so we just kept going. And, you know, I said to Bob, I said, seems to be getting thicker, doesn't it, you know. And it just kept getting thicker and thicker and well, it was getting real thick there for a while. And then, you know, it just seems like it happened all of a sudden. Just seemed like it happened all of a sudden. All of a sudden, we're surrounded by fog so thick that you'd almost feel like you could scoop it up, you know, with your hand. And all of a sudden, I realized, and he realized that I'm not really sure where we're at anymore, you know. Or how to get out of here. I'll never forget the feeling that I had at that particular point, lost in that fog and not knowing what direction to turn, not what direction to go in, not even really how the world I ever got where I'm at, but all of a sudden where I'm at is right in the middle of the fog. Well, that can happen to you in a boat on a lake, and that can also happen to you spiritually speaking as well. It can come upon you before you even know it's ever really happened to you. I'm going to just name a few before we read here. I hope I can describe this. You know, it's when you feel like you got surprised and you got knocked down. You ever been knocked down and had the wind knocked out of you? You know, it's when you feel like in a spiritual sense that you've kind of had this sail, you know, the wind blown out of your sails. You know, had some surprises to come or unexpected things or life-altering or life-altering situations that's come upon you in your life. And, you know, and what they have done to you, the devastation that you feel inside of you, of not only in life, but sometimes you feel it even spiritually. You know, there's a certain type of security that we feel of the keeping power of God. And you know, we trust the Lord. And so we should, you know, that we're trusting in the Lord to keep us. And we believe and we take comfort in the fact that he's got his hand upon us. And then all of a sudden something happened that was of a surprising nature or of a very hurtful nature or whatever it would be. And it's just kind of like slammed us. It's like knocked us down. And matter of fact, if we would even really be honest, it's kind of shook my security that I felt like I had in the Lord. Now, my security in Jesus hasn't changed, but my perception of that security has kind of like been shaken. And you know, you may be spiritually mature and you may be at the place where you know better than to say this, but you know, you inwardly, you can't kind of help but say, you know, Lord, why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to me? How did this happen to me? Or Lord, I can't believe that you let it happen to me. You know, and then you even feel guilty that you ask that question, you know, of the Lord, but yet at the same time, you know it's there. You know, that's the fog. You know, the fog comes from being hurt. You know, hurts coming in your life of all types of different situations, devastations, loss. disappointments, unexpected things that happen in life, even frustrations. I want to just speak there for a minute. I know I haven't read a scripture yet, but I want to give a warning to the frustrations that, you know, that we allow certain expectations, and I'm not talking about expectation of faith. I'm talking about expectations that we have, that we might put them on other people, we might put them on life, or what we expect to go and have happen, go forward. And then there's frustrations that come. You know, and if you let frustration go too far in your life, it'll rob you of your faith. It'll rob you of your faith. It'll put a dullness on your edge of your expectation in the Lord, because there's a frustration that of things that you want to see happen, things that maybe you even feel like God has said to you will happen, or whatever it would be, and it you know, there's been a delay, you thought before now this would happen or whatever, and now that this frustration, beware, because they come as a robber, and they come as something to steal. It can be health issues, it can be the end of a relationship, a loss of a job, emotional bankruptcies, for whatever reason that may be. You know, the invading feeling of abandonment. The fog. Well, I'm going to show you what to do when you don't know where God is and you don't know how to find God and you keep crying out to God. Matter of fact, even your faith might be weak enough or undermined enough. Not that you're shaken from walking with God, but there has been a shaking to where, you know, you don't even really trust in your own faith, quote unquote, anymore. You know, what do you do? Well, I want you to begin here. This is in James chapter 4. I'm going to begin with verse 6. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud. And he speaks this a few times about the proud. But he gives grace to the humble. And I want you to hear that, because that's the promise of Almighty God. And I'll tell it right up front. When you don't know which way to go, when you don't know where the answer may be found, when you're not sure where even you are in the Lord or what way to go, then the answer is to humble ourselves before the presence of the Lord. If we humble ourselves before the presence of the Lord, we will find Him. And we will find our way out of the fog. That word right there, I'll go ahead and give you, is the Greek word is tapinos, T-A-P-E-I-N-O-S, and it means this, it means lowly, lowly in spirit, lowliness in mind, and it also is the word for humility. And, you know, we're told continually through the word of the Lord, we need a balance. We need to understand that we're called to walk by faith and to live by faith. But that's not the only thing we're called to live and walk by. You know, we're also to be clothed, as the word says, with humility. Humility is a way of walking with one another, a way of finding the way of the Lord, walking in humility or humbling ourselves before the Lord. Now, let's go on there. He says that he gives grace to the humble. Verse 7 says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, you'll hear a lot of people say, well, just resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But that's not what it says. It says, submit therefore to God. And then it goes on and says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And the insinuation of submitting to God is by humbling yourself before Him. You will always find the way out of the fog if you humble yourself before the Lord. You will always find the direction. Your hand of God will come in power. It will come in might. He will guide you when you don't even realize or know that you are being guided. That's the power of humbling ourselves before the Lord. He goes on from there, and this is really where I wanted to go as we go on to verse 8. He says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. I love that promise right there in the Word. If you draw near to God, the promise of the word of the Lord is that he will draw near to you. And in there again, in the context in which this thing is being spoken, is that you're drawing near to the Lord by humbling yourself in his presence. But it goes on and tells us a few things. And if we're going to draw near to the Lord, and if we're going to humble ourselves before the Lord, he goes on and he says this in that same verse, in verse 8, he says, cleanse your hands. In other words, your deeds, your actions, you sinners. And of course, he's talking about those that are living in sin, that the hand of God is being hindered. You can't ignore the issue. You got to lay these things down into the hands of the Lord. If you're going to draw near to God, these things become a hindrance to you drawing near to God. God will deliver you where you need to be delivered. He'll give you the strength that you need. He'll give you the grace. He's already determined that. He's already said it. You do not say, well, I can't help myself. I can't help myself. I hate my own sin, and I can't help myself. And, you know, that can even be a real true fact. But I want you to know your hope is not in your willpower, and it's not in your ability to put it away. It's by humbling yourself before the presence of God, with no conditions before the Lord, that you repent openly before the Lord. And you say, Lord God, you know, here I am to be cleansed. Here I am to be removed from my sin, or my sin being removed from me. And I let you have your way with my life. Don't be afraid to be delivered. Don't be afraid to be delivered. Some sins become such a crutch and become such a strength in the flesh to people that they really have a very hard time letting them go. And God is not simply interested in the surface stuff. You know, when he deals with the surface stuff, when you're a young babe in the Lord, and there is a point where the surface stuff ought to be going away, and it comes because of spiritual maturity. We're always going forward in the Lord. We're not meant to go backwards. To be going backwards is called a backslider. Okay? And we're not looking to go backwards. We're looking to go forward. When he starts cleaning you up on the outside, then he starts dealing with things on the inside, and he brings to light those things that stand against his character. They stand against his nature. They stand against the way of the Spirit. You know, the Lord is always bringing a deeper cleansing. He brings a deeper cleansing in me. He shows me attitudes or motives or subtle thoughts that come my way, you know, that the evil one would love to make an inroad through those things. You know, and not to be excused, that they'd be repented of. You know, and we're always going forward in the Lord in these ways. We humble ourselves, even when we don't know what to do with something, we humble ourselves. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. And then he says, look at this, and purify your hearts. And who's he talking to? You double-minded. Oh, the double-minded, the sinners and the double-minded. You know, the double-minded is I think and walk and value the way of the world on one side, and then the other way is that I walk and talk and value the way of the Lord on the other side. I think the way of the world 1 minute, and then the next I'm thinking the way of the Lord the next minute, and I am what's called being double-minded. Not to think that one shall receive anything from the Lord. That's what the word says about the double-minded. You know, so that this is what he's calling for God to move with this grace, for God to remove the things that you can't move, but he can. He can move mountains. He can move mountains in character, in nature, in will, in mind, in desire. We just have to be brave enough to follow the Lord in the midst of all those things and let him have his way and make us new. Well, then he goes on. He says, so draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. I hope that you'll take that in hand. I pray that you will always realize that's the promise of Almighty God, that no matter where you're at, that if you'll draw near to him, he will draw near to you. Then I'm going to kind of skim through some of this, but I want to touch it. That's verse 9. He says, be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into gloom. That's really an interesting statement, is it? But what he's really, can I paraphrase it a little bit, is saying, you know, lay everything aside and get serious with God. That's what he's really saying. Lay everything aside and start getting serious with God. That's the point that's really being made there. Because a lot of times we allow other things to come into our lives, especially when we're under the fog. When we're under the fog, many times we look for things to kind of soothe us, or they become a compensation. Fleshly desire, if you stay in the fog, fleshly desire becomes a way of escape and comfort, even for those that are in the Lord. And I tell you, there is the trap of death right there. You know, we must be aware of those things that, you know, that we would come and that preoccupy us, indulgences. You know, I wrote this down for myself. Indulgences are a trap of false comfort. Indulgences are a trap of false comfort. They're a way that I escape from, instead of dealing with the misery that is in my heart, the feelings that I really have, what's going on down inside of me. You know, instead of letting God have his way and deal with those things, bring healing, bring comfort that comes in the power of the Holy Spirit, bring life that comes in the anointing of the Holy Spirit that raises you up, transforming power of Almighty God. Many gravitate. They preoccupy their heart and their mind, you know, with various things that don't have to be bad things. It just keeps you from thinking. And what an age that we live in to keep you from really having thoughts and really coming with your thoughts before the Lord. To be entertained and to be preoccupied with your mind in so many other different directions that you can never hear the voice of God or what God wants really from you that will bring you into the next level with him. This is one of the things that the Holy Spirit I know is wanting to do. I'm going to do it right now. You know, in the name of Jesus, I loose you into the next level. In Jesus' name, right now, I loose you into the next level. Coming out of the fog of having this wind knocked out of you spiritually, knocked down to where the unexpected happened and you don't, kind of shook you. It kind of shakes you. That's what he's talking about. And then he comes into verse 10 and he says, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord. And he'll look at the promise and he will exalt you. So when I don't know what to do, I don't know where the Lord is, I don't know how to find him, I'm not hearing any answers, he's not giving me any kind of clarity, and it's not a sign of him abandoning me at all. He's not abandoned me in the least little bit. He's doing something greater. He's doing something better than simply giving me an answer. Because the answer doesn't bring the transforming power of God, but the work of the Spirit does. And so what I do before the Lord is I just simply, Lord, I humble myself before your presence. You can take action. You don't have to sit there numb. You don't have to sit there bewildered. I humble myself before you, oh Lord God. And knowing the promise of Almighty God that he just gave you and me right there. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord and he will exalt you. I love that word right there, exalt. Hupso, H-U-P, S-O-O accent on that last O. That's the word, the Greek word for it, exalt, and this is what it means. It means to lift. Listen to this, to lift or to raise up, to lift up. Boy, don't you like this? This is all part of the definition, to be made great, to be made great in whatever way that would be. It means the word high, H-I-G-H, high. And look at this. Listen to this. A greater height, a greater height, to be raised up into a greater height. A high position. And when we talk about, we're not talking about in the way of the world here. We're talking about in Jesus. We're talking about in Jesus. I hope you see this. I hope you understand this, that this is a lot of times the way that we go forward. This is the way that we go forward. Because let me give you some other more clarative definitions of the word humble here. You know, let me read this to you. To be humble is a form of being emptied before the Lord with the expectation, may even be promise, of God filling the emptiness that we are giving Him. I'm going to read that again because I want you to get that, because the power behind humbling yourself before the Lord is a form of being emptied before the Lord with the expectation of God filling the emptiness that we are giving Him. Now, I'll give you another one. To humble yourself is to give the Lord total control. Total control of the situation. Total control of the circumstance. Total control of your condition of heart. And total control of you. To humble yourself. What power there is. And you will always find God every single time. As He's promised. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 5. I want you to go over there. 1 Peter chapter 5. You may feel devastated. You may feel shaken. You may feel that what you thought was solid, that you ended up not being as solid as you thought. You know, God allows us to go through life experiences. You know, there's a Christianity preached out there that if you're really walking in the Spirit and you're really walking with the Lord, then He raises you above and delivers you of all of life's problems and difficulties and struggles. And you know, those type of Christians, you'll even hear them say, when another brother or sister is really going through a very hard or difficult time or a devastation of some kind, you'll hear the other saints, they'll say, I wonder what he had wrong in his life. You know, this is a false teaching, because this is not a reality of the Lord. You know, and I got something else to tell you, and I won't teach on it at another point, but do you understand the great ambition of the Spirit of God? You know, like, why, Lord, why do you let me go through some of the things that I've gone through? Why, Lord, why didn't you deliver me, Lord God? Lord, and it's been so hard, so tough, the pain. Because the great ambition of the Holy Spirit in your life is less of you and more of Him. I'm going to say it. The Holy Spirit will pulverize you to remove the spirit of self. And if you know Jesus, you can't avoid it. Now, the flip side of that is being raised in the likeness of His resurrection. You know what kind of Christianity this is called that we don't have no more? This is called the Christianity of the cross. You know, the cross is not simply a historical event now. The word says to take up your cross, you, and to follow Him daily, okay? The power of the Holy Spirit is to work out the cross in you and in me. This is the aim, the goal, and the ambition of the working of the power of God in your life and in my life. Because the great promise of the Lord is that you and I are called sons of God. And you know where we're headed? Where we're headed, we have been given the pledge of sonship. And that pledge is the Holy Spirit. He's come into our life to give us a pledge of the total, absolute fulfillment of us being brought into sonship. It's ours by position, but that's not enough for God. And glory to God, it's not. And you ever been with those that didn't know what they were doing on the workplace or whatever it would be? And they had a title, but that was about the end of it right there, is that they had a title. And nobody really respected them very much, did they? Right? Okay. Well, we're not just called sons of God. Oh, glory to God. We're being made into sons of God. It's what's taking place by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it brings us into Jesus. And the power and the glory of the knowledge of Almighty God is being worked out through your pain, through your weaknesses, through your bewilderments. That God is raising you, even as you feel like you're going down, you're really going up. That's what's happening in the power of the Holy Spirit with each and every one of us. And then one day, we shall be like Him. And the Word says that when we're made like Him, we will see Him just as He is. Isn't that incredible? Oh, the promise of Almighty God. And that's where we're going and where we're headed in the Lord. This is the great work of the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the mystery. This is the mystery that's being fulfilled. And so, you know, you having promises is not first and foremost on God's mind. I'm sorry. It's not. Okay? You just having happiness and having everything to be rosy and go your way is not first and foremost on God's mind. Oh, He's going to fulfill what He accomplished on the cross that had been promised down through the ages and had always been moving in that direction. And that direction is bringing many sons of God. Isn't it incredible? Do you know how incredible your God is? That He went and took Abraham back in Genesis 15. He said, come on out here, Abraham. I want you to do something. He says, I want you to look up there. I want you to look up at the stars. And I want you to see, I want you to count the stars. Will you count the stars? And Abraham said, oh, Lord, I can't count all those stars. You know? I can't count all those stars. Scientists still can't count all those stars. Do you know that? They still can't count all of those stars. And then God says to Abraham, so shall your sons be. And do you know that was, oh my gosh. Do you know that that was the fulfillment of Acts 1:8? That you know that you are to wait, you are to stay here in order to receive. He had explained it to them, that the promise of the Father. You've read it. You know, you wait here in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. And that promise, oh, that promise was the promise that He made to Abraham that night, standing out under the stars. And He said to him hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago, oh, so shall your sons be. It moved all through the history of time. It moved from the Abrahamic covenant. It moved. It never meant to settle in the law. It moved on into all of these things, moving toward the ultimate goal. and purpose of Almighty God that was never out of the heart and never out of the mind of God, because it was given as covenant promise to Abraham that night looking up at the stars. I hope that image will bolster your confidence on the integrity of when God makes promises. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't the Lord glorious? This is the great work of the Spirit that's taken place in you and I. Don't be deceived by the false, and I'll call it what it is, the false doctrine that is out there, that you'll never have any struggles, you'll never have any devastations, you'll never have any surprises. God will keep you now. God will keep you. You may feel like you can't exist any longer, but He won't let you go under, and He'll grab a hold of you in ways that you didn't know that He could grab a hold of you. And you may feel so undone and so unraveled that you don't know how to go forward, but how you will go forward will be going forward in Him. Clothed in a new way that you never dreamed that you even need to be clothed. Undone. And why, oh Lord God, did you allow that to happen? Some of it is not God. It's not God doing it to you. We were talking about it in Sunday school. We live in a fallen world, and that fallen world is governed by a nature of injustice. And, you know, you may have all your ducks in a row and walking perfectly fine, and then it's what somebody else does to you. Or whatever. Or life. I want you to hear that. But in the meantime, as we go through in the Lord, there's 1 Peter 5. And I'm going to begin here. I want you to see this. This is in 1 Peter 5. He says, verse 5, "You younger men likewise be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another." And look at this. This was said in James. He said, God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. I can see, I don't have time to say a lot about it. I'm not going to at this point. But I do want to get to this verse 6. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt." There it is again. It's the same Greek word. "That He may exalt you." And then He adds to it, and He says, "at the proper time." At the proper time. Now, that particular word is kairos. K-A-I-R-O-S, kairos. And it means a time, it means a season, an age, an epoch, for a while, and it means at the right time, the proper time, at the right time. I'm telling you, if you'll not get bogged down in the fog, if you'll not let the trappings of the fog happen to you, because see, the evil one is in the middle of the fog. If you'll not give to that, then I'm telling you that the Spirit of God will raise your life to a place, into a level that you never ever dreamed that would ever happen to you in Jesus. Hallelujah. Here's that work of the evil one. I want you to see it. He goes on, and the next thing he says in verse 7, "casting all of your anxiety or care upon Him because He cares for you." You better watch out for that spirit of care. He'll rob you of all your joy and all of your expectation, and not only rob you of your joy and your expectation, but He'll limit your vision in Jesus. You'll be so afraid to even have any kind of vision in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit imparting to you that upward new level in Him, because you're so afraid to step out in it and receive it. That's the devastation that comes through the fog. And the evil one wants to use it. Cast your care on the Lord. That means that he'll take it. The things you suffer, okay, the things you suffer, you cast them over on the Lord. We all suffer things in various ways. Don't you allow that to get a hold of you. Don't you allow that to dictate to you, because it will if you will let it. You got to rise above it, and you will rise above it because you'll be raised above it. And it'll be by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it'll be because you don't know what else to do but humble yourself before the Lord. And you humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you at the proper time. He'll bring restoration to you. He'll restore the things that the evil one has taken from you. You know, and I don't mean maybe the exact thing. Are you following me there? But how it has affected you and affected your heart. He will restore to you what you never thought that you'd ever be restored to you. And he'll not only restore it, but he'll also cause it to be poured out upon you in such a blessing that there'll be not enough room to contain it. Oh, isn't that the way? And you'll say, I don't see how, God. Well, good. Believe instead of trying to figure it out, right? You got to take that I can't see hows, and you got to stomp them in the dust, and you got to give it to God. Oh, do you have a great God, right? Do you have a great God that wants to do great and mighty things through you in your life, that wants to turn you into a sign and a wonder? Oh, goodness gracious. Oh, we worship you, my God. We worship you, my God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise his name. You know you're in trouble, don't you? Yeah. I won't keep you long, but I said it's been burning on me, you know, about releasing, okay, to the next level. The next level. Okay, you receive it. You know, you receive it. You know, other things that I'm going to break through words in just a minute. The power and authority of these words will be released upon you if you receive them. They'll bring life, and the life of those words in the spirit will move mightily, and it'll remove everything that's in your way to keep you from obtaining it. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Okay? A new level. A new level. An open door. I see open doors. Open doors. Doors that can't be opened except by God. That's the one you want. That's the one you want. You want the one that he opens, that no one else can open. Breakthrough words in the name of Jesus. A new level. A new level. Open door. Breakthrough words in the name of Jesus. Freedom. See, what it really boils down, what the evil one is seeking to do is just put such weights on you that you have no freedom. And that you go around saying, praise the Lord, but inward you're just about as miserable as you can get, you know, because you're like everybody else in the world. You know, your heart's not being ruled by joy. Can I share something personal? I'm going to anyway. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes upon me, and I will start singing in the Spirit and dance, right? Okay? I'm giving glory to God. I hope you'll see it that way. Do you know that I have absolutely no self-awareness of you at all? None. I have no self-awareness of your presence in any form or fashion. Now let me tell you how far I've come. So, you know what my wife did to me? I want to tell you what my wife did to me. Well, we were going to get married. And so we're planning a wedding and everything. And she says to me, she says, well, now, after, you know, we're pronounced man and wife, then we'll turn around, look, and we're going to dance back down the aisle. I'm smiling just as big as I can. Inside, I'm going, you got to be kidding me. You think for 1 minute that I'm going to dance like a fool back down that aisle after getting married? You're crazy. Oh, yes, honey. Is that what you'd like to do? You don't know how I wrestled with this. I saw it as nothing but personal humiliation. Okay. Dread. Oh, the dread of it all, right? You know, then we're going to get married. You're now husband and wife, and we turn around, and everybody's staring there. All right, now, Pastor Ron, you're going to dance down the aisle. Oh, gosh, I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. And, oh, God, give me the strength. She didn't know what agony I went through, although I brought it up many times since, because wait till you hear the crux of the story. You know what the crux of the story is? She didn't say anything to me, but she had decided that she wasn't going to dance. She didn't tell me that. So here we turn around. Oh, boy, Ron, here you go. See, I can't dance. Not only can I not sing, but I can't dance. So, okay, oh, boy. Oh, Lord, don't fail me now. And so you know what I did? I danced. It wasn't in the spirit either. I danced down that aisle by myself. As soon as we got to a private place, what happened? What happened? Now, let me tell you something, just a secret. Yeah. She can dance. Okay, so I thought her dancing would cover up mine. You know, because she'd be dancing. She can dance. Now, I'm going to tell you she can dance, right? Okay, you know, so, you know, I thought, well, I'll be halfway safe. You know, not too many people will notice me, and they won't be thinking, look at that fool. That's how self-conscious I was. But I dance like a fool in front of you. And I have no awareness that you're there. You know that? It wouldn't make any difference if you were or you weren't there. Now, let me tell you how intimate this is to me. When I'm talking tonight, I'm talking about joy, I'm talking about freedom, I'm talking about moving into the next level, moving into a level that maybe you never knew you'd ever have in Jesus. And I'm going to tell you what, me dancing before you is a level that I thought I would never have. Now, I can tell you that right now. But it's so intimate to me. In my house, Beatrice would be off doing something, it'd be late. And I'll turn most of the lights out, and there'll be a few little lamps on in the kitchen. Oh, my gosh. Do me and my God have a time? Do we have a time? Oh, And it is so intimate to me that at times, because we pray together and such, but at times she will come and walk into the kitchen and catch me. And I'll stop for a minute. Now, not that I really care, but that's how intimate it is to me. It's a very personal thing between me and my God, right? And yet, you know, the Spirit of the Lord said to me, he said, Ron, remember me telling you? He said, Ron, be courageous. Remember me telling you that? You know, I thought, uh-oh. God's telling me to be courageous. But he said, I want you to demonstrate worship in the Spirit. I'm going to use you as a demonstration of being lost in me. And that's why. And I don't care if you think I'm a fool or not. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't make no difference to me. I don't care if you think I can sing or I can't sing. It doesn't make no difference to me. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. But also I know that the anointing of God flows in the midst of it. But can I tell you something? I'll close here. I never thought that I'd ever do that. Freedom. The joy. I'll tell you one last thing. So when this happens to me, I mean, can I tell you what I experience? Number one, joy. Oh, it floods my soul. Joy floods my soul. Number two, like clockwork, joy floods my soul. Number two, the experience of his love floods my soul. This is all part of the keeping power of God. It's all part of the blessing of tongues. It's all part of the blessing of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's all part of singing in the Spirit. It's all part of the edification that comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. One, humble yourself when you find yourself in the fog. Number two, pray in the Spirit to keep yourself from ever entering into the fog. Set your heart. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Lord God. Completeness. Be loosed in the name of Jesus. Completeness. Destinies. Be released. Set free. Open up in the name of Jesus. Destinies are opened in the name of Jesus. Blessings. Blessings. Blessings being held back. Be now released in the name of Jesus. I call you forth. In Jesus' name, blessings, I call you forth in the name of Jesus. Promises to be fulfilled in Jesus' name. Let them be released now in the name of Jesus. Oh, come and fill and fulfill in the name of Jesus. All hindrances. All demonic manipulations, all blockages, in Jesus' name you are removed. I loose you now from your hindrances and your blockages in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, a breakthrough power now in the name of Jesus to the holy people of God. Breakthrough power in the name of Jesus. I declare over each and every one in the name of Jesus. Hindrances that have been controlling be gone and released now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God. Fog be gone. All fog in the name of Jesus. All fog lingering, hanging over, up on. Oh, now let the clear sunshine of the bright, shiny day of the Holy Spirit now come and fill in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Would you all come on? Oh, let's all stand. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when you leave here, what I want you to do, I want you to begin to thank God when you praise, worship. Okay, you thank, oh, I'm singing the love song of the Lord over you, sister. Yoke be broken in the name of Jesus. Oh, be broken in the name of Jesus. Oh, let the yoke be broken in the name of Jesus. Oh, let it be broken in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. If you pray in the Spirit, then start praying. Oh, don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid of Him. Oh, He is Jesus. He's the manifestation of Jesus. He's the manifestation of Jesus. Oh, I praise you, O Lord, my God. I lift up your name and exalt you. Oh, you're my holy God and you're my mighty King. Oh, blessed Lord, blessed Savior, you're my blessed deliverer. Oh, I give praise and glory of your righteous name, oh Lord. Oh, I praise you, oh precious Savior. I praise you, oh precious Savior, because you're my God, you're my holy King. Oh, you're so good to me. You're so good to me. You're so good to me. You're so good to me, oh Lord, my God. Oh, oh, oh. So good to me. So good to me. Oh, Halimene. Holy be holy, holy belly. Halamaha. Holy, 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 yeah, we pray for you.
Pray for me. I need like a refreshing.
Okay. Yes. Oh, Nala Maya. Oh, be refreshed. Oh, be refreshed. Let the renewal flow. Oh, 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 oh. fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. A fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. Oh, be released in Jesus' name. Huh. Oh, praise you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord. Blessed be the mighty name of the Lord. Oh, let's just all stand. Okay, praise God.